Into you, if you happen to bring your Bible along with you, would you go ahead and lay hold of it right now, hold it up in the air. If for some reason you ran out the door, made it to church, but you left your Bible right there sitting on the kitchen counter, at least hold your hand up in faith. There is no distance in prayer. You're covered. Let's go ahead and say this together. I boldly confess that this is my Bible and I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have, and I can do what God said I can do. Today I'll have a listening ear, an open mind, and a receptive heart, and I shall receive the engrafted Word of God down in my spirit. It will transform my life, it will renew my mind, and change my thinking. I'll never be the same as the way I came, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence in this place right now, and I do acknowledge that you're the miracle worker, the great teacher, and my helper. So I am asking you to give me wisdom, knowledge, understanding, information, inspiration, revelation, motivation, and direction concerning God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will for my life on this very day. We are believing you, Lord, together that every need of everyone in this place shall be met, spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, we have come expecting. We will not leave disappointed. Therefore, we're giving you alone all the glory, all the honor, all the praise right now in advance for what's about to happen, not only in the service, but especially in my life, in my heart, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, would you go ahead and open them up, please, with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 103. If you want a title of this morning's message, you can go ahead and mark it down as this. It's about time that you start to remember. Go ahead and look at your neighbor, smile at them, and say it as nice as you can. It's about time that you start to remember. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever forgotten some things in your life? My goodness. If you're married, you definitely don't want to forget your wife's birthday or your anniversary. I made a grave mistake when I was dating. Believe it or not, I had forgotten Eva's birthday. And she said, "Do you realize that it was my birthday? You never wished me happy birthday yesterday. You never brought me a gift. I wasn't even married." I'm surprised she even went through with the whole thing. I had forgotten her birthday during our courtship. To this day, 20 years later, she still reminds me of it every now and then. That's something, to be quite honest, I would rather not want to remember. But at any rate, that is my mistake. But at any rate, there it is. Have you ever sat down and an exam was placed in front of you, and you did your best to study and to prepare and to go through all of the information and process it and try to learn it and memorize what you could, but only to no avail as you begin to stare at the questionnaire in front of you? For some reason, it's as though you had this sudden brain freeze. All that information had escaped you. And you're sitting there beside yourself thinking, what's going on? I know the answer to this question. I know the answer. It'd be much like somebody you're standing there conversing with. When they ask you a question and they bring up a particular event, let's just say last month's guest speaker, and the conversation goes something like this. Yeah, you remember when that guy was here last month? Boy, it was really cool. I loved the message. What was his name again? Now, if they didn't ask you what his name was, you did remember it. But at that point, just the very fact that they ask you what was his name again, you feel like it's at the tip of your tongue, but you don't seem to be able to reach out and recall that information, at least not instantly. So we've all been in situations like that, haven't we? Where, you know, your tongue is tied. You're thinking, oh my goodness, I know it. Give me a second. Let's talk about the weather. Maybe my mind will kick back into gear. Now, we're going to look at some things together in the Word this morning. I believe it will be an encouragement to you. Certainly, I'm endeavoring to stir up your faith. Let me ask just for a show of hands before we go any further. How many of you, under the sound of my voice, have been or are going through something now, are going through physical challenges in your life? Physical challenges. You know, I mean, things you really believe in God for. Or certainly you probably know others who are. So as I have traveled across the United States and I minister each and every weekend in different churches and different cities and so forth, what really surprises me is the amount of believers that seem to be under attack. The devil doesn't let up. He's not on holiday. He's not taking a vacation away from sickness or disease. He's doing everything within his ability to try to upset your life and your home. And so it's interesting that he does that primarily, if it's not through strife, if it's not through financial struggle, then it's certainly going to be through sickness or disease of some sort. You know how that is. You know, you just went to bed and fallen asleep, and suddenly here we go. Within 30 minutes, one of the children are knocking at your door, and, you know, Daddy, I don't feel good. I feel like I have to throw up. Hold on a minute. Are you serious? Yes, I feel like I have to. Quickly, let's go to the bathroom before anything happens. And on your way to the bathroom, well, it all happens. I was in church a couple of years back. My son was a little smaller then. He's 11 years old now. But he was a little younger, I'm going to say. Maybe he would have been, what, 6, 7 years old. And I was wearing a nice dark suit. This is a light suit. It was a nice charcoal gray dark suit. You know, just got it back from the cleaners and all. And I'm in the back of the church, and he had asked, you know, Daddy, would you pick me up? So I'm holding him, and suddenly, as the worship is going on, and I'm staying near the back of the church holding my son, he said, Daddy, I don't feel good. Really? Yeah, I feel like I'm going to throw up. We never made it to the bathroom in time. And so you can imagine that picture, that image in your mind of what it had looked like all over my charcoal gray suit as it's dripping down. Oh, it was just unbelievable. I'm sure you came to church to have that image just branded in your mind. But what I'm saying is that the devil doesn't play fair. He is out to simply cause upset in our homes, wanting to distract us through a variety of different things. And so let's be real honest. I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like pain. I don't care if it's the slightest thing from a headache to scraping your arm, getting whacked, whatever. I just don't enjoy pain. You know, when I was younger, I didn't say I'm old, but when I was a little younger than I am now, and thank you for that support. When I was in grade school, I had, let me back up. I used to live in Buffalo, New York, and one day we were outside playing in the snow, and we were playing a game called Steal the Flag. At any rate, in the backyard, there was a collision. I ran into somebody, and I broke my shin. I had a cast all the way up to my waist for quite a while. And so ever since then, my shin had become rather sensitive, even after it had healed later on in life. Here I am now, that was in elementary school. Here I am now living in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm in middle school, I would say. And it was during a class, a recess, or sometime after lunch, and everybody was visiting with one another. Well, to be quite honest, before God, I don't remember what I had said to upset this girl. But she decided that day to wear her steel toe shoes, and she reared back and as hard as she could, like she was, you know, going to make the field goal with the football, she reared back and she just let me have it right in my shin. I mean, Jesus, come quickly. That's all I felt like saying, and I mean, it hurt like you can't imagine. But that's not the end of the story, because she wasn't satisfied with nailing me in one of my shins, so she pulled the other leg, or her leg back again, and drove that shoe into the other shin. Well, that was it. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I was out for the count. I was down on the ground. I couldn't even walk. I thought she broke that one leg all over again, and the other one. So, of course, I was ushered down to the nurse's aide and this sort of thing. Well, ever since then, it's always been a rather sensitive area for whatever reason, you know, that it had healed. So I'm saying all that to say, not long ago, last summer, here I am outside, just cut the grass, and I have this the remainder of grass all over the driveway. And I thought, well, I can either take a broom and be out there sweeping for 20 minutes. How about if I just get the leaf blower? There we go. So here I am now, down like this. I have one foot on the part of the leaf blower. My hand is on the handle of it, and I reach down to pull that string with all of my strength, like you're starting a lawnmower. And for whatever reason, my foot gave way, and as with all of my strength, as quick as I snapped that thing, that whole leaf blower came flying back, crashing right into my shin. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It left a bruise. I don't know how many weeks before that black and blue mark ever left me. But my whole point is that nobody enjoys pain. And I'm telling you, I am so glad to know Jesus. I am so glad that I have authority over the devil. I am so glad that he did make provision for me, that we can receive healing, that we can deal with issues that we're going through. I'm so glad that as a born-again Christian, that we can get our needs met, that we can live free from bondage, that we can, in fact, receive healing and live in divine health. But the truth about it is, having the right to do so, even though provision has been made available for you and for me, that is not enough. It doesn't mean that you actually will just simply because the provision has been made available. You know, I had walked into the dry cleaner some years back, and I was dropping some things off, and I noticed as I was checking out, there was a little bowl. Right there, next to it was a little pile of registration cards. Sign up, you can win $100 worth of free dry cleaning. And I thought, well, why not? I mean, I've never done that before. So sure enough, I filled it out, dropped my name into the little bowl or box, whatever was there. Maybe 6 weeks passed. I was back in the dry cleaners at one point, picking or dropping something off, you know. And I noticed over on the side of the wall, it said, oh, here's the list of winners. And I thought, oh, that's right. I actually had put my name in the box. And I looked, and the contest had been over now weeks ago. And I looked, and I saw my name up there in the wall. And so I spoke to the tenant there working in the store. And I said, these are the list of winners for the different cities where your stores are located? And she said, yeah. I said, well, that's me. I said, I didn't know I won. I have $100 and free dry cleaning. She said, well, evidently. And I said, boy, see, I didn't even know about it. And yet it belonged to me the entire time. Here's the deal. I ask you to go to Psalms chapter 103, right? Are you there? I want to touch on something real quick this morning. Psalms chapter 103, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. I've come to the conclusion that even though this provision has been made for you and me, there are far too many born-again Christians who are living below their rights and privileges for one of many reasons. One could simply be a lack of knowledge, like where I was at concerning the dry cleaning contest. I didn't know I won. So even though I had $100 to spend at the cleaners, what good was it doing me? I didn't even know I had won until somebody had brought that to my attention, whoever was responsible for putting my name up there on the sheet of paper and then hanging it on the wall. This is one reason why many believers live below their rights and privileges. They're ignorant. That's all. They're unlearned. They don't know. Would you go ahead and, as nice as you could possibly muster up, look at somebody sitting next to you and tell them, in a nice way, God is tired of your ignorance. Just as nice as you can say that, God is tired of your ignorance. All right. One of the other reasons why many people walk below their rights and privileges and really cannot benefit from a provision that belongs to them is because they forgot. I just didn't remember. I slipped my mind. I didn't remember. And consequently, it reminds me of a couple of interesting stories. You may appreciate this. Someone said, once I made chicken soup and I simmered the carcass for hours with lots of vegetables. And then when it was all nice and tasty, I grabbed the colander and I poured out all the liquid down the sink. I stood there for about 5 minutes staring at the bones, trying to remember what the next step in the soup-making process was. Here's another individual. They said, I recently went to the gas station near my apartment with the intention of buying gas. It was a rare occasion as I actually had cash. I normally pay for everything on debit. So I walked into the station, gave the man $10. I proceeded to walk back to my car, get inside, and I drove away. It was about 5 minutes later on the highway that I realized that I hadn't actually pumped any gas. I was too ashamed to go back. You know, that's sad, but people do things of that nature. Someone wrote this. They said, I once forgot to take out my contacts before going to bed. I woke up, I put my glasses on as usual, and I freaked out because everything was blurry. I tried cleaning my glasses and nothing would help. I spent about 5 minutes freaking out, thinking that I was going blind or something. There was nothing wrong other than they forgot. They left the contacts in. This person wrote this down. They said, the pipe underneath the sink was leaking, so I placed a bucket to catch all the water. Whenever the bucket was getting full, I emptied it out on the same sink. Hello. This person said, I was driving to work and I was about 15 or 20 minutes away. As I was driving to work, 15 or 20 minutes away, when I realized I forgot my keys. Even though I was halfway there, I was going to be late. I went ahead, turned around. When I got back home, I looked for my keys. I was frustrated that I could not find my car keys. Then I realized I was holding them because I had been driving for the last, hour. And finally, I'll wrap this up. This person said, I don't like such and such tacos. It's a taco chain. But I was in California on business. There was one right next to my hotel, and I was very tired and very hungry. And there was a long line at the drive-in as it was inching forward very slowly. I'm trying not to fall asleep in my car. I paid for my meal, collected the food, drove off before realizing that I never ordered. I had driven right by the order box and paid for and collected the meal of whoever was behind me in the line. Isn't that silly? People do things like that. Why? They just forget. We don't want to forget what belongs to us because we belong to Christ. Here's the deal. The reason why many Christians don't walk in the provision that God has made is A, they're ignorant, they don't know. B, they forgot. Like the list of these stories that I shared with you, people just simply forgot. That's right, I forgot. I don't have to be sick anymore. Oh, I forgot. I can look to the Lord to supply my need. Oh, that's right, I forgot that I don't have to be bound with this, that, or the other. The third reason why many people fail really to walk in the provision of the Lord is just simply out of a lack of response. In other words, I know what it says. Don't stand there and preach to me, brother. But yet they're not convicted or persuaded enough in their own heart to actually do something about it. James said that faith without corresponding actions is dead, or faith without works is dead. It would be much like me saying, I desperately want to lose 10 pounds. And yet, what do I do? What's the first thing that I'm putting in my shopping cart as I enter the grocery store? Huh? This enormous size strawberry cheesecake is the first item that I'm selecting and putting into my grocery cart. Well, hello. I realize that's not going to help me drop 10 pounds. That may add a few pounds to my belt, but that's certainly not going to help me to lose the pounds. And so it's not that I'm ignorant. It's not that I have forgotten, but rather I can't be bothered to do something about it. So remember this, brother and sister. I'm just setting a stage that whatever part of the Bible you don't know about, whatever part of the Bible that you forget about, or whatever part of the Bible that we can't be bothered to obey for one reason or another, this is the part that we're not going to enjoy. You know, a number of years ago when I was living in England, a friend of mine, who was a big, tall Texan guy. I mean, he had cowboy boots and the belt buckle and had that Western draw, the whole nine yards. And so he was a big fella. I had lived there for 4.5 years. He was there in the country for a couple of years, and he had already been there for, I think, about a year before I arrived. At any rate, England was not known, and I live just outside of London, England. It was really not known for hot temperatures. We had a lot of rain, that sort of thing. You always wanted to carry that umbrella with you. You never knew when the heavens were going to open. But the last two Sundays, the last two summers had been rather muggy. You know, just the humidity was up high. So he says to me, and his name was Paul, and he was a missionary there, a pastor. He's about 10 years older than me. He said, Todd, I'm going to take my car into the mechanic and see what it would cost for them to put an air conditioning unit in my vehicle. I said, okay. So what does he do? He pulls into a local, a local shop. The guy comes out, and he said, well, how can I help you? He said, well, I just wanted to know what it would cost to install an air conditioning unit in this vehicle. Mind you, now he's had this vehicle for 2 years. He's went through two summers, and I mean, he's in the second summer now. And really, you know, because of all the mugginess and humidity being high, it was just very unpleasant. So the mechanic's looking underneath, and he says to my friend, he said, "Mister, you already have air conditioning in this vehicle." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Come on over." He said, "You see this box right here? That's your air conditioning unit." He said, "Are you kidding me? Get out of here. There's nothing inside of the vehicle that is designated as, you know, the AC. How would I even turn it on? There's heat, and then there's the fan speed, 1, 2, or 3. He said, come here, I'll show you. So the mechanic gets in. He said, you see the little fan speed? You know, you can click it to 1, 2, or 3. He said, in order to engage the air conditioning unit, you just grab that switch and you pull it towards you. You pull it out one click. As soon as you hear a click, it automatically engages the air conditioning unit. And voila, cold air suddenly began to blow out. It was right under his nose for 2 years. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Here I am suffering, going through all of this, miserably uncomfortable, and yet it was completely unnecessary. Why? Because The remedy that I needed was right under my nose, but yet I didn't even know about it. So if we don't realize or remember, for example, that healing belongs to us, then when we're in need, guess what? We're certainly not going to be looking to the Lord to meet that need, at least not in faith. We'll be like the individual who cries out in desperation, "Oh God, please heal my body. Heal me, Jesus." And the truth is that he already did. That's the truth from a redemptive standpoint. Others believe that, well, if it's the will of God to heal me, then the Lord is going to step in. If it's his plan and purpose for my life to deliver me from this affliction, then surely God will do something about it. So what you're saying is that if your physical condition or your circumstance does not change, then what you're going through today must be part of the big picture. It must be the plan of God. That's the furthest thing from the truth, because essentially here stands an individual declaring that the will of God is determined based on my circumstance as opposed to being based upon the testimony of his word. The will of God is never established based on what we're going through, what we're experiencing, what's coming down the road, what is staring right at us. That's not how we determine or establish the will of God. But yet many Christians who don't understand that principle, this is the conclusion that they draw. In other words, what they're actually implying is that when their circumstances change, when that sickness or disease or that pain, infirmity, when it leaves them, then this proves it was God's will. And if there is no change in what they are suffering with, then evidently it was not the will of God. One more time, do not look to your circumstances, to your feelings, to your emotions, to the reports of others in order to establish what the will of God is for your life. The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, hold on, brother, I'm a little bit confused. How am I supposed to look at something that I cannot see? That sounds ridiculous. You're telling me, according to the testimony of God's word, I shouldn't be focused on what I'm staring at, but rather I need to be looking at something that I can't see? Well, that tells me two things. Number one, there must be another set of eyes. And number two, there must be another realm. Because the only way that I can look at something that I cannot see is going to be through the eyes of faith. The only way that I can see something through the eyes of faith means that there must be another realm that exists that my physical eyes cannot contact. If you were to drop down to verse 7 in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, what does it say? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let me give you a clear picture to help you understand this. Everything exists in two forms. There is the physical arena, and then there is the spiritual arena. God, who is a spirit, he had to pre-exist the physical creation before he created it. In other words, the builder is greater than the house that he built. The creator is greater than the creation that he created. So everything, before it is physically manifested, it had to exist in the realm of the spirit, because God, who is a spirit, had to pre-exist the physical creation before he created it. It might sound like a tongue twister, but does that make sense to you? Okay, so here's what I want you to get a hold of. Let me call your attention. I believe it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. We're not going to take the time to go back and read all of this. But there was a day, there was a time when the king of Syria was very upset with the king of Israel. And so certainly he was setting up war against them, only to come to find out that it seemed as though the Israelites were one step ahead of him. So one of the servants came to the king of Syria and he said, "Well, king, here's what's going on. Those Israelites have a prophet in their land, and he knows what you're saying behind closed doors. In fact, he knows what you're saying in your bedchambers." And he's like, "Are you kidding me? Is that right? Go find this man and bring him to me." So the king of Syria launches out this big army and, you know, soldiers, horses, and chariots, and they come to the town where Elisha and Gehazi were staying. Early in the morning, Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, the prophet Elisha, Gehazi rises and he goes out for a morning prayer walk. As he lifts his eyes, he suddenly takes notice quickly that the entire city is surrounded with horses and chariots. Well, he's horrified by this vision. He goes back, he reports it to his master, or his, you know, the prophet of God, and he said, "What are we going to do?" I'm paraphrasing this. You know, we're in trouble. They've found us, or they found you in particular. What are we going to do? And the man of God looks at his servant, and he said, "Just relax. Don't sweat it, because there are more of those that are with us than those that are with them." And Gehazi certainly didn't understand that sentence. Imagine if you were in his shoes and you started to do the arithmetic. Okay, let's take quick inventory. 100 soldiers, 200, 300,000, 2,000. Okay, all right. Generally speaking, enough to encompass the entire city. Okay, that's what we're up against. And let's see, how many's on our side? 1, 2. Now let me get this straight. There are more that are on our side than are on their side. And do you remember what this prophet prayed? He said, "Lord, open up his eyes so that he may see." Well, I thought that his eyes were already open. Well, these eyes were. His physical eyes were. And his physical eyes contact the physical arena, the physical realm. You know, just like today, I'm looking around. I can see all of you, what, you know, the color of your clothes are, what chairs you're sitting on, the carpet. I can see everything. I'm contacting this arena through the physical realm, this gate called the eyes. But he prayed, "God, open his eyes so he may see." Well, evidently, there was another set of eyes that he's referring to. And the Lord opened his eyes. This was his spiritual eyes. And suddenly he saw into another realm. It was the realm of the spirit. And do you remember what he saw? He saw horses and chariots of fire. Yeah, okay. That's right. Now suddenly this mode of confidence just rose up within him or came upon him. He was no longer afraid because now he could see. Get this. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whatever you or I have need of right now, March the 22nd, or tomorrow, next month down, or whatever we'll be facing in life, God said, "I've got your back covered. I'm El Shaddai. I will be to you what you need me to be when you need me to be it. I never change. I'm always the same. I'm watching over my word to cause it or to bring it to pass in your life." This is the God that we serve. And in the natural realm, you might be going through some things right now and you're thinking, "When am I going to receive my healing? When am I going to be off this medication? When am I going to be out of debt? I'm tired of being broke all the time and living from hand to mouth, you know? When is my circumstances going to change? When is this relationship going to be restored? When is my family going to start serving God?" And these are genuine questions, right? I mean, they enter my mind. If they enter my mind, I'm sure they'll, you know, they've entered yours as well. The deal is, according to the testimony of God's word, we're not to look at the things which we do see. Let me put it like this. As long as I am focusing on my circumstances, on the storm, or on the approaching storm, as long as I'm focusing or keeping my mind fixed on the level of pain that my body is experiencing, on the nothingness in my checking account, I'm down to 50 cents, right? As long as I'm looking to the natural realm to satisfy, as long as I'm looking to the natural realm for a word of encouragement, chances are I will become overtaken. I will become discouraged. I will quickly become depressed. My God, it looks like there's no way out. What am I going to do? I may as well order my own flowers. You know, where do I turn to? Where do I go from here? People talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. I wish it was so in my case. As long as we're only living life through what information that we're receiving through the natural realm, we can quickly become discouraged. But if we'll look by faith into the promises of God's word, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Let me give you a quick four example. All right. When God opened up the eyes of Gehazi, he saw horses and chariots of fire. Those horses and chariots of fire had to exist. If they were not real, then when God opened up his spiritual eyes, guess what he would have seen? Nothing. They had to be there before his eyes were open. They're more real than he realized. When God opened his eyes, he saw into another realm. God gives you and me the blessed promises, these exceeding great and precious promises right here that the word talks about in the book of Peter. These are exceeding great and precious promises. In the natural realm, it might not seem to satisfy you. You're thinking, yeah, okay, so by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Yeah, I got it. So God supplies all my needs? Right. So he is the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I wish it was that way in my home. Aside from being skeptical, aside from doubt and unbelief, this is an individual who does not live by faith, who does not see by faith. Let me give you an example. If I were standing up here this morning and I was describing to you that a long time ago, before you arrived on earth, there was an entire society filled with dinosaurs. In fact, T-Rex is one of the biggest bad dinosaurs that existed. You didn't want to be standing in the same backyard when he arrived. And you're like, well, I don't know. Okay, right. Well, whatever. And I pull out from my pocket and present to you a photograph. Hey, I was just recently down there at the Smithsonian Institute. And here's a photograph of the actual bones, the structure of this enormous, dangerous dinosaur that had once existed, T-Rex. And you're like, okay, all right, fine. So you got a photograph. The photograph is only temporary. The photograph only serves as evidence that what I'm telling you must be true, because if he never existed, how could I produce a photograph showing you of his skeletal structure, right? While I am telling you about T-Rex, whether you believe me or not, suddenly this noise occurs, and come crashing through the back wall is T-Rex himself sticking his ugly head right into the sanctuary. Hello. You probably wouldn't be sitting there smiling or chuckling. You'd be running for your life. My point is, you no longer now need to take my word for it. You no longer now need to believe the evidence that I'm showing you of this photograph that he did exist. Why? Because now you have him in 3D. Now you have the manifested presence of this dinosaur himself. Now, God gives us these exceeding great and precious promises. He's blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's use this as an analogy. Just as I would take out a photograph and say, here is a picture of the dinosaur. He did exist. Here is evidence. I hold before you today the testimony of God's word. This is evidence, just like the photograph. It declares that himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. That is the proof. This is the photograph. This is the evidence. Maybe you don't have the manifestation of it, like you don't have the manifestation of T-Rex in live. However, you have the photograph, the evidence. I submit to you today the testimony, the photo, the evidence of God's Word. Your faith and mine is to be entirely based upon the testimony of the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our faith is to be based upon the testimony of His Word. So we could read 2 Corinthians 5:7 this way: for we walk by the testimony of God's Word and not by the testimony of what our physical senses are telling us. That's how we could live. That's how we should live. So this is true. God gives us the evidence that these things exist. Healing does belong to you. Whatever you have need of, it has been made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The Word says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He ever had the compassion and ability to heal the sick yesterday, then evidently He must have the same compassion and ability to heal the sick now. If He does not, that means that He changed. If He has changed, well, that nullifies the testimony or the evidence of His Word. Remember, the testimony of His Word is temporary. It takes the place of the healing until the healing manifests. When I read in the Bible that Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and by His stripes I was healed. When I read in His Word, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. He forgives all of my iniquities, and He heals all of my diseases. When I read Psalms 34:19, many are the test, troubles, and trials, afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of all of them. When I read that, that's a photograph. That's evidence. That's proof. This belongs to me. I may not have the manifestation of it yet, but at least I have evidence, proof, a photograph, a verse, a scripture showing me that it does exist, that this can become a reality in my life. And the way it becomes a reality in my life is simply by using my faith, reaching out, and laying hold of it. Say this out loud with me. My condition is about to change. The devil is on his way out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, our faith is not to be based on our feelings, on circumstances, on the testimonies of others, on what's the approaching storm that we're facing. As a believer, our faith is to be based simply on the testimony of the Word of God. Now, I didn't say to deny the circumstances. I didn't say to pretend that they're not there. I didn't say just pretend that pain. And that pain isn't real. I have heard Christians say things of that nature. That's right, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Can't even stand there and breathe. Your eyes are watering. You sound like you're choking. You're perspiring. You're sweating uncontrollably. And you're going to tell me that you're not sick? Right. Right. No, you are sick. This is what you're going through. My point is when we're in faith, we're not denying the reality of what we're experiencing. If I, cut my arm open, how stupid is it for me to look and say, I'm not really cut. My arm's not really bleeding. I don't really feel anything at all. I'm Superman. No. That's just plain ignorance gone to the sea. We don't deny the storm that we're staring at. We don't deny the feelings that we're experiencing. What do we deny? We deny it the right to remain. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this affliction. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this fear. It's real. It's not an imagination. It's real. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this bondage. I take authority over lack. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I am protecting my health in Jesus' name. The enemy, somehow or another, is challenging what I believe, challenging what you believe, staring you in the face, trying to call you on the carpet. Do you really believe? that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you really believe God hears and answers prayers? Do you really believe that He's watching over His Word? Do you really believe God's going to come through? Do you really believe your circumstances will change? Do you really believe you're coming to the end of this sickness and disease, that you're about to triumph over it? Do you really believe you'll be off of medication? Do you really believe that the doctor will be surprised the next time you go in for a checkup? Yeah. I mean, the devil, he'll just go right on down the list trying to find one that you don't believe in hope of arresting you. And too many people, they're dwelling on problems instead of dwelling on the answers. Do you ever notice that? People love to dwell on the doctor's reports. Well, let me tell you, I mean, I'm a believer and I know what the Word says, but I found online the other day, and then they begin to describe to you like a scientist. Sound like they have a PhD overnight. They're able to give you so much information and details as they have spent all night researching the type of sickness, the disease, or problem that they're encountering now. And I'm thinking, hello, why don't you spend that kind of quality time persuading your own heart, mind, and mouth of what God said about you? And I'll tell you one reason why. It's because people like sympathy. They like others to feel sorry for them. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. You know, when I'm challenged with anything in my life, the last thing that I'm looking for is somebody to feel sorry for me or for sympathy. Because that's not going to change my storm. That's not going to change my situation. I know that what is on trial is my faith. And I need to make a decision. Do I want to be pampered by those around me? Or do I want to roll up my sleeves and say, okay, whatever it takes, I'm in this till the end. Okay, Lord, I'm going to dig into the Word. I'm going to put myself in remembrance. I want to make sure that I'm not ignorant, unlearned, uneducated. I want to make sure that I remember that I have not forgotten. I want to reaffirm my belief, my core values, my doctrine. I want to make sure that my heart is persuaded. And I'm telling you, friend, it's beyond my comprehension why so many times Christians are so quick to believe the report of others, but yet they're so slow to believe the report of God. Hello? Too many are asking questions. Well, but brother, what did the x-ray say? What did the doctor say? What is your family saying? When the only question that they need to be asking themselves is, what does God's Word say about my situation? Am I covered? And I have great news for you today. You're covered. You are covered with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Covered with the blood of Jesus. When we come to the place in our hearts that God's Word is final authority, then and only then, will we not be moved by how we feel, by what we see? We're only going to be moved by what we believe. And our testimony is this: I believe God that it shall be even as He has spoken. Say that with me. I believe God that it shall be even as He has spoken. You know, I heard somebody say, well, brother, in His time, in God's time, He's going to heal me in His time. Well, here's a news flash. God's time was 2,000 years ago. He exchanged places with you. And when He did, by the stripes that wounded His body, you were healed. That is not a promise. He didn't promise to heal you. It says in His Word that you were healed. God did not promise to save you. The Bible says 2,000 years ago that in Christ He was reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing man's sins against them. And He has committed unto us this ministry or message of reconciliation. It's a done deal. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So it is available for the asking, for the taking, for the receiving. Hallelujah. It's up to me. It's up to you simply to reach out and say, okay, God, I accept. You know, a scripture that we often use in referring to salvation is 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Greek word for salvation is the word sozo. It's the all-inclusive word. It means salvation, preservation, provision, healing, health, protection. Like I stated earlier, God is saying that I'm going to be to you whatever you need me to be when you need me to be. Today is your time. It's time to accept your healing. It's time to accept deliverance. It's time to accept salvation. It's time to accept forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a statement, and I only have a few minutes left before we pray, but healing is not true just because people get healed. Well, I thought it was. I thought if people are healed, then that makes healing true. And if people are not healed, then evidently healing is not true. Going back to what I said earlier on, is healing based on what you experience, what I experience, or is healing based on what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago? He traded places with you, right? So, case in point, if I'm holding an evangelistic meeting and all of you are unsaved, you don't know the Lord, and to the best of my ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I preach to you the message of the cross, the message of Christ. And at the end of my speech, I give you an opportunity. If you're ready to receive Jesus and you've never made him Lord of your life, why wait till tomorrow? Tomorrow's promise to no man. Today is the accepted time. And you all look at me, spit in my face, turn around and walk out this door and live your life how you want without ever making Jesus Lord, King, in control. And there comes that day when your heart stops beating and you're ushered in through the gates of hell, where hell from beneath is moved to meet you when you arrive. That's what the scripture says. As an unbeliever, that is going to be their outcome. Could we conclude that it wasn't the will of God for you to be saved because you lived your life the way you wanted it, and at the end, you found your place, you found yourself in a place that you were hoping did not exist? No, you see, the Bible says God is not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Whosoever will, let him come and take of, you know, the tree of life. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's your decision. So if you all die and end up in hell, I can't say, well, it must have been the will of God for this whole group to spend their eternity in the lake of fire. How could I draw such a horrible conclusion? Because I would be basing it on your experience or your outcome. When in reality, he bore your sickness and disease. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made to be sin for you in your place so that you might be made right with God. He was put to death on account of your sin, but yet he was raised from the dead when you were made right with God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. So the deal is that salvation is not true just because people get saved or people don't get saved. Salvation is based not on your experience, but it is based on what Jesus made available in dying for your sins. What did he do on the cross? It was the innocent dying for the guilty. He paid the debt that he didn't owe because we had the debt that we couldn't pay. He exchanged places. When he did, he saved the world. Now, that's why people need to hear the good news. And God was very hopeful, optimistic, in believing that when people would hear of the goodness of God, that they would respond to the message of Christ. It is the goodness of God that leadeth a man unto repentance. So God says, I'm going to sow my son, Jesus, my one and only son, in hope of receiving a harvest of many sons. Okay? And so this is how it is. Salvation was never based on whether you experience it or not. It's based on what he did. What does that mean? That means in the courts of heaven, they have been satisfied by the blood of Jesus. The price has been paid. I wrote this down. It was like a spiritual poem that God gave me. Because the price has been paid, his life has been laid, the blood has been shed, Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's alive forevermore, and he now stands at the door, calling, come and receive. All to do is believe. So what is your choice? Will you start to rejoice or be sad and depressed like all the rest? And, you know, this is the case. We have the opportunity laid out before us. Salvation or hell. I can receive him or I can reject him. If I preached on healing for the entire hour and at the end of the service, no one received their healing, could you honestly walk out of this meeting with the conclusion that healing is not the will of God for everyone? Well, why would you make such a statement? Well, because, you know, I didn't see any manifestation of healing. Nobody received their healing, at least from my standpoint. Nobody had any healing testimonies. I mean, the guy prayed for everyone and I didn't see any results. There was no manifestation. So what you're saying then is that healing is based on whether people get healed or not. Healing is not true if you walk out of here and there's no evidence or manifestation. You're saying that healing is based upon proof or evidence or manifestation. I'm saying to you, healing is not true just because you receive it or fail to receive it. Healing is true because himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and by the stripes that were laid on his back, you were healed. What does that mean? That it's a forever settled subject. He didn't promise to heal you. He said, I already have. Well, then how on earth does that become a reality in my life? All you're showing me is a photograph. All you're showing me is a picture. How can I get that into manifestation? How can I see the reality of that physically in my life and body and be completely rid of this infirmity? Well, first of all, the only way that you can see that coming to pass is by the eye of faith. That's the only way. And the good news today is God has dealt to every single one of you the measure of faith. You really do have what it takes. That same faith that it took for you to get saved and to come into the kingdom of God, however long ago that was for you, is exactly the same measure of faith that you use to receive healing. To say, okay, Lord, if your word says it, if this is the testimony of God's word, that healing is mine, it's a forever settled subject, that I can be healed and I can walk in divine health, that I don't have to suffer with pain, infirmity, sickness, disease, misery, or upset anymore, then I reach out by faith and I receive it. And I say, Satan, I render you powerless, null and void. I cancel this attack that you've set up against my life and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about we need to wake up. It's time to remember. We have forgotten for too long the price that has been paid, what really does belong to us. We might know it up here if somebody was to engage you in a conversation. Maybe for some of you, it was seed sown on new ground, and maybe you've heard some things this morning that you really were unfamiliar with. But for others, I was simply watering seed that has already been sown, trying to get that motor working again, and for each one of us to wake up to the realization that our circumstances are subject to the testimony of God's word and his word of promise. It takes the place until the manifestation arrives. I want to encourage you this morning to use that faith of God that has been deposited down on the inside. Stop letting the devil take advantage, you know, of your life. Stop allowing him free reign and control and begin to exercise that authority. In fact, in the evening service, if the Lord allows me, and it's always subject to change, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, about authority. And so if you can be here tonight, you certainly want to be here because I'm going to go into some great detail in that area. Would you go ahead and stand? I see that our time has escaped us. I know I've been up here quite a while. It feels like I've been up here for 10 minutes, but there we go. There we go. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with me this morning and say, Heavenly Father, I am so glad that I didn't stay home and sleep. I'm glad I came to church. Your word is truth. I acknowledge it as truth. I receive it as truth. I'm asking you now to seal the word of God in my heart and in my mind. Help me be a doer of your word, not a casual listener. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting me in remembrance of what belongs to me, of who I am in Christ and what I can do in Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me of the power and the testimony of God's word, which I need to have established within my heart. I'm making a decision on March 22nd, right now, 12:16 in the afternoon, that I'm going to press in. I'm going to reach up higher. I am hungry. I want to know you more. I want to go further in God. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, for insight, for revelation, for understanding. Show me where I am missing it. Help me to get it right. Thank you, Lord, for not abandoning me, but giving me the Holy Spirit. He is my onboard navigator. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would use my life in these last days to produce miracles in the lives of others, and also that I might be a great blessing. I am willing, I am ready, I am available, I am at your service, wanting to do your will. Whatever it takes, wherever you lead, I will follow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, this evening, as I always do, I always lay hands on the sick. But if there would be a chance that you're not going to be able to come out this evening at 6:30, then I certainly don't want you to walk out of the service today saying, I really needed prayer, and I wish somebody would have taken the time to pray for me. I drove 4 hours yesterday to spend this day with you. I am at your service. So this morning, if you are in need of prayer and you're not able to come tonight, I want to give you an opportunity. Lift your hand if you would like hands laid upon you. I see the healing power of God all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. And just want to give you an opportunity. Okay, I just see two hands over here and three. Three people, okay? Would you allow me to pray for these three individuals before we're dismissed? Because I certainly would appreciate your prayer support as we pray. Would that be okay before we dismiss? I know it's 12:15 or 12:20 now. With those three individuals, you lifted your hand. Just come on out right now. Amen. What was the title of this message? Or did you already forget? Yes! Somebody was listening. Oh. Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say I'm glad somebody was listening, but I think you had a little help. Okay, ladies, let's see. Let me just slide this to the back. Not that it's going to make much. There you go. There we go. So there's three of you. Would you go ahead and just line up right here? You're first. Right here. There's one. Right next to her. Just stand right next to her. And are you catching or are you in line?
I'm catching.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. Now here's the deal. I am anointed to minister to the sick. And I know that on the testimony and basis of God's word. I also have 20 years experience to back that up. I am not a healer. I have never healed anybody in my life. I can't do anything. But I can be an instrument or a channel that God will use. So, but I'm also wise enough to realize that there is an individual's anointing, but there's also something called a corporate anointing. And that's the reason why I said, if you can just stay for just a couple more minutes before we dismiss. And I'm going to invite you to join in. We're going to find out what's going on. And then I'm going to ask you to extend your hands. We're going to enter into that corporate anointing today. And let's believe God for whatever it is that these ladies are facing at this time in their life. Does that sound okay? All right. What have you come to receive?
Healing for me and for my husband.
Okay. And for you, in what way?
I have problems with my legs and my back.
Okay. Okay. So knees, legs, arthritis, discomfort.
Yes, I'm going through rehab right now.
Okay. And your back? What did you do?
I have spinal stenosis.
Okay, spinal stenosis.
Yeah.
Does any of these issues, the back, the leg, any of that stuff bother you at the moment?
Yes.
Okay. Your legs bother you? Okay. So you'll be able to check yourself out afterwards.
Yes.
And then your husband?
He has cancer, and I'm inundated with a lot of...
Okay. Okay.
Things that I have to do to help with him.
What is his first name?
Tom.
And does he know the Lord?
He accepted Christ, but he doesn't live it.
Okay, so he's backslidden.
I don't think he ever went forward.
Okay. Okay, so he has a knowledge of God and believes the message, but not living for the Lord. Okay, Tom. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's extend our hands. I lay hands on my sister right now. You are the healer, Jesus. Back, be healed in Jesus' name. Spine, discs, vertebrae, right now in Jesus' name. Command all pain and discomfort to go in the name of Jesus. Legs, be healed in Jesus' name. I take authority, Lord, over this assignment that set itself up against her, and I cancel it in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Be healed and made whole. And Lord, I lift up Tom. There's no distance in prayer. I pray that he'd recognize he needs you, he needs Jesus, and without you, he's lost and undone. Lord, send somebody into his life who Tom will listen to, who can effectively minister salvation to him. And Father, I just pray, Lord, Psalms 107:20, thank you for sending your word and for healing Tom, raising him up off of this bed of affliction. I speak to the life of the cancer in his body. I speak death to it right now in Jesus' name. And life to his immune system, life to his bones, his blood, his cells and tissues in Jesus' name. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe, I receive healing right now in my body and for my husband. Case closed. Victory is mine. Healing is mine. I take it now in Jesus' name. Okay? Before I move on, can you check yourself in any way? How are those legs?
The pain in my is less down here.
It's less?
Yes.
Here's what you're going to do. You are, now don't go anywhere. It's less. God's working. You're going to take a praise break. A praise break means that we're not asking the Lord a second time because we know he heard us, but he's working. Praise break means we begin to worship and thank him for who he is and what he's doing in our life. And I want you to do that right now in your own way. Just thank you, Lord. I worship you. I magnify you. Would you go ahead and do that? I'm going to find out what's going on here with my sister, and I'm going to come back. And while you're waiting, you just lift your hands and begin to magnify God. Thank you, Lord. There's nobody like you. Thank you, Father. Your word is working. The pain is on its way out. Thank you, Jesus. I can always trust you. I can always depend on your word. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory and honor and praise. Just stand there and begin to worship him for a moment. Sister, what have you come to receive?
I messed up my back at work. And okay. Sometimes it feels okay, and then if I bend the wrong way, it goes back into that.
Okay. And is it bothers you now, or just...
Yes, it is
okay.
Bothering me.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. Yep. Excellent. You ready?
Thank you, Father.
All right. Stretch forth your hands, congregation. In the name of Jesus, back be healed right now. I command all pain associated with this, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Straightening it up, fixing everything that needs fixing and adjusting. Spine, discs, vertebrae, muscles, in Jesus' name. Say, I believe, I receive, case closed, you're my healer, your word is enough. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Father.
I want you to just, before I go on to the next one, how is it right now? You said
great.
It was bothering.
But
you said it was bothering you a minute ago.
Yep. Cannot feel it in my back.
Okay. So you don't feel it right now. It's
it's
gone. But it was there.
It was there.
But it's not
but
there.
It's not there.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Excellent. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
How's it seem right now? Just be open.
Okay. Still hurt?
Still hurt?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to be a cook in what they called City of Faith Hospital, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma, across the street from Oral Roberts University.
Okay.
One day, I was in the salad department, and I was having this conversation. This is a long time ago. And I said, Lord, where do I go? What do I do? I've prayed over this situation. I know what your promises say. Now what? And he said, all that remains is praise. All that is left is praise. That's why I can't emphasize enough that if you'll just begin to just thank him and praise him for what he has done and what he's doing now, that, yes, that will take you all the way home and you'll see full manifestation. Okay? Oh, I know. I put these in my pocket before the meeting. I almost forgot. And I'll give each one. There's only three of you here. You're going to write down today's date, March 22nd, and it says, hands were laid on me according to Mark 16:18. I believe I received my healing. This case is closed. The battle is over. The victory is mine. Healing is mine. I take it now in Jesus' name. Lord, you are my healer, and your word is enough.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to write on the back what we agreed on. This is your testimony from this day forward. Okay, write it down.
What are we writing on the back?
You are going to put today's date, and you're going to put that lower back issue that you had.
Okay.
And this is your testimony. Hands were laid on me. The case is closed.
Okay.
Closed. What have you come to receive?
I have a herniated disc and
okay.
arthritis to both of my knees.
Okay. And I'm assuming that these cause a lot of pain?
Yes.
Is anything bothering you at the moment?
Yes, my back.
Your back bothers you at the moment? Not particularly the knees, but the back does. Okay, I'm going to pray for both areas. Ready? In the name of Jesus, back discs be healed right now. In Jesus' name. Pain, go. In Jesus' name. Right now. Knees be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Arthritis, go in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, I believe.
I receive
healing, victory right now in my back and in my knees. Case closed. The battle is over. You're my healer. And your word is enough.
Word
in Jesus'
enough.
Name.
In Jesus' name.
I want you to just check your back. Same to you right now.
It's a little sore, but it feels better than when I first got up here.
Okay. So you're aware. It feels better.
Yeah.
You're aware of whatever, a little something there.
Yeah.
Still, that's what I call lingering. So, your assignment is very simple. Lord, I worship you. I magnify you. I praise you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Go ahead and take that praise break before I dismiss you. Lift your hands up now. Sister, lift your hands up too. In fact, if you're out there and you didn't want to come down, you can take a praise break with all of us. Lord, I worship you. I give you glory, honor, praise, adoration, thanksgiving. There's no one like you, Jesus. When others fail me, you never do. I can always depend on you. I can always trust your word. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my body, setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty work that you're doing inside of me right now. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what I just call that, a praise break. Before I dismiss, release you, check it out one more time. How does that back seem to you right now at the minute, the moment?
There's a little twinge there, but it's not throbbing like it was.
So if you came up and maybe, I don't know, if it was at a 10, you know, just really annoying and bothering you, where would it be right now?
About 5.
Okay, so about half. So about a 50% difference already. Again, all that is manifestation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's T-Rex about to stick his head in the sanctuary, but we hear the back wall caving in.
Yeah.
Our sister, she had him come all the way in. Full manifestation, where it's there, and now it isn't.
Right. Amen.
And the sister here, again, partial. So yeah, it's less. Something's going on. I have his word of promise. Hands were laid on me, and Jesus said, you shall recover. So it's working. Something's happening there. And now we're going to see the manifestation of it in full. Amen? I want you to each take these. And again, you probably won't be here tonight, but if by chance you are or you're not, I put my email address on the back of that. And at your leisure, you feel free and write when you see the full testimony or manifestation of that, of what God has done. Okay? Lord bless you. Lord, thank you for meeting us today, encouraging the saints, and for manifesting your presence and your power in this hour, and for the healing, working power of God in the lives and bodies of my three sisters today. We leave this place, Lord, encouraged, blessed, strengthened, healed, empowered, forgiven, anointed, and set free. I ask that you bless our afternoon of rest and that you'll bring as many back as possible for the evening service, that we may have another opportunity to get into your word and to get your word into us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.